another Wednesday night. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you so much for tuning in here. This is your AEW Dynamite review for August 12, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. I thought Dynamite tonight was a pretty good show. There were a few matches I was not necessarily a big fan of. The main event, honestly, I thought was below expectations. Went exactly the way I thought it would in terms of an Orange Cassidy win. I mean, he had to win. I mean, he lost the first one. This feud's been going on now for weeks. Jericho's been taunting him. So this was a must-win for Orange Cassidy. The biggest win, the biggest match of his career. That part of it wasn't surprising. And the match was good, but I frankly, I think the first match they had may have been a little bit better. And that finish, the mousetrap, OC, I'll get into it later on, but Jericho, I blame Jericho on that. It did not exactly go smoothly. So we're going to talk about all that. I'm going to get into all of my Dynamite thoughts here. But first, I watched week two. I want to go through this real quick. Week two of the Women's Tag Team Cup tournament, the Deadly Draw. I am keeping up with it. And I want to bring everybody up to speed just on where things are. They gave a little bit of an update tonight. They showed the bracket. But they really have been keeping it very much separately from Dynamite. It's almost like its own thing on YouTube. They don't really dwell on it, talk about it too much. Nicole Savoy, she was in the tournament. That might be a name you've heard of before. She looked good. She was teaming with Big Swole. We have Big Swole and Lil Swole. We have two Swoles now. You would never know if you didn't watch this on YouTube the other night. That's why I'm bringing you guys up to speed. But anyway, I can see this becoming a gimmick on TV, by the way. Big Swole, Little Swole, similar to the Hardcore Holly, Crash Holly, Holly Cousins dynamic many years ago. Savoy's been a big independent name for many years. She competed in the Mae Young Classic about 3 years ago. Advanced, I think, to the second round, lost to Candice LeRae. So she's been around for a while. She made one previous appearance in AEW. It was about a year ago, actually. I think it All Out in the Casino Battle Royal. They wrestled the team of Leva Bates and Riche Chanel, who I will say that Chanel is committed to the gimmick. You know, she walks to the ring with her, I guess, Chanel handbag. You know, all highfalutin. Work-wise in the ring, leaves a little bit to be desired. This was the weakest match of the tournament so far, I thought. And probably, you know, not just the show, probably the whole tournament so far. I did like Chanel's running boot. I'll give her credit for the running boot late in the match into the corner. But this was a weak match, and it was not because of Big Swole and Lil Swole. I'll just say that much. But they won with their flatliner blockbuster combo. So the Swoles move on. Medusa, who came out and did a nice speech in week one, she came out. Actually, she didn't come out. She was in the back. Took the microphone away from Dasha. You guys all know Dasha, right? Our old friend Dasha. She's been the backstage interviewer in AEW. Medusa was there. And she surprises Dasha by letting her know that she is going to be in the tournament. And Dasha is just blown away by this. I mean, she was so excited. It was like a mix of old NXT Bayley and Kylie Rae, kind of all molded into one. And she picks her color and she realizes that she's matched with Rachel Ellering. This was Rachel Ellering's AEW debut on Monday night in this tournament. She was let go by WWE a few months ago. Not the only person to be let go by WWE a few months ago to resurface here in AEW. I'm going to get to that later as well. But she had not wrestled, I don't think, a single match since last summer. She tore her ACL. So this was her big return. For those who don't know, as far as Dasha goes, Dasha has wrestled before. When Dasha got into the business, she was training to be a wrestler. She was down in developmental. She was at NXT. She had a handful of matches. I know what the Internet Wrestling Database says. It shows two matches. She had more than that, but not that much more. And then they transitioned her into the role of announcer. They wanted her to be one of their Android announcers. And thus, Dasha Bot was born. That was the birth of Dasha Bot. That's 5 years ago. They took her out of the ring. They put a microphone in her hand. And then they pulled the plug on her. They pulled the plug on poor Dasha Bot last year. I guess they're not, what do they call it? Sunset? They're not updating her operating system anymore, so they let her go. And what happened was she was reborn as an actual human being who was allowed to show personality. It's amazing. So she came to AEW. And in fact, she had a match on the independent scene against Renee Michelle, Drake Maverick's wife, last November. So, again, I see these reports online, her first match in 5 years, and she's only wrestled 2 matches. It doesn't take a lot to look up the fact that that's not exactly the case. That's not accurate. So I just wanted to clarify that. And you know what? Honestly, for someone who hasn't wrestled in so long, she's not terrible. The thing I will say about Dasha is she's very deliberate. She's very tentative in the ring. She telegraphs what she's going to do 2 or 3 seconds, 4 seconds before she does it. Very slow. But she's athletic. I know she was on that Dwayne Johnson show, the Titan Games. I didn't see it, but, you know, they mentioned that on commentary. But you could tell she's had wrestling training before. She and Ellering took on Ivelisse and Diamante. They had a match on Dynamite a few weeks ago. You might be wondering, where's Ivelisse? Where's Diamante? Well, they're right here. They're right here in this tournament. Ivelisse got the pin on Dasha with a running code red. I think the one thing this tournament suffers from is the lack of access to international talent, which I'm sure they would have had international women in this match were it not for the travel restrictions and everything. I do think the tournament, you know, taking someone like Dasha who hasn't wrestled in, you know, 9 months, I think that's a product of them just not having access to some of these women, whether it's Riho or whoever else, you know, may be missing in action right now. But, you know, I'll show you right now, this is what the tournament semifinals looks like. You want to take a look in the box, because it is prettier than I. That right there, that's the semifinals. It's going to be the Nightmare Sisters against Big Swole and Little Swole, and Anna Jay teams with Tay Conti against Ivelisse and Diamante. I really, really, really hope this is not just a setup for Brandi Rhodes to win the whole damn thing. I really hope that's not what this whole thing is designed for. I know it was her idea. Does anybody really want to see the Nightmare Sisters walk away with this storyline or not? If it's leading somewhere, I don't give a shit. I will take any other team. All of these other teams I find far more interesting than the Nightmare Sisters. I'd be perfectly fine with Tay Conti and Anna Jay, Big and Little Swole. My pick, Ivelisse and Diamante. They're the ones that I'm picking to win this whole thing. And so that is the update for you on the women's tournament. Now we can get into Dynamite. See, I told you I'd bring you guys up to speed. Jim Ross, Taz, and Tony Schiavone on commentary this week. Excalibur, I think it was Meltzer, had a note. Originally, Meltzer said that Excalibur would be back tonight, but then he changed it and said the 27th. That's going to be one of the delayed shows. I think it's a Thursday. I will say this, and again, I think he should come back. He should get his spot back, and hopefully it all works out for him. But the more that I listen to JR, Tony Schiavone, and Taz on commentary every week, I got to tell you, they are the best three-man trio on any wrestling show right now. And you can say, well, you know, if you're not a fan of theirs, you could say that's not saying much. Well, you know what? I'm saying it. Find me another wrestling team trio active right now on any of the major shows, announce-wise, that is better collectively than these three. And Taz is really good, and he has fit in perfectly in that spot. And it's almost, and this is the problem, right? I mean, this is really the problem. This is what happens when, you know, you're off TV for a while, and if you're a wrestler, you lose your spot, somebody else takes your spot, and before you know it, you lost it. I don't want to say that I don't want Excalibur back. Alex, thank you for the $10 drop, my friend. Alex Jimenez with the $10 Russo on a pole. But, you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes, right? And the more I hear these guys, I don't want to see Taz go away. No offense to Excalibur. So it's going to be kind of sad when they break this trio up, but apparently, August 27th is when he is expected to be back. Garrus Vicarian with $1.99. A bottle of brandy is better than Brandi Rhodes. Well, Brandi does have a YouTube show called A Shot of Brandi. It's in her kitchen, and she's had a whole bunch of guests. Those are actually enjoyable to watch. She's had Tony Schiavone on. Tony Schiavone apparently is a huge pina colada fan. I'm watching this. It's only like 20 minutes, and he's down in like three or four pina coladas like they're nothing. You got to imagine going back to the dying days of WCW. He was probably knocking him back every single week. They used to say Bobby Heenan would literally drink on the job. He would hide whatever he was drinking under the desk. I could believe it. I mean, look, it was the dying days of WCW. What else do you expect? It probably would have driven me to drink. Anyway, check out A Shot of Brandy, though. It's a good show. So they had limited fans in attendance. And again, I use that word loosely. They were all wearing masks. They weren't really fans. This does not mean that AEW is allowing fans back in, per se. I want to give a shout out to, first I'll give a shout out to Jacob Donnelly with the Undertaker 420. But I want to give a shout out to Jesse Davin. I want to show her tweet. So this is from Jesse on, you can follow her on Twitter. She was there. She was actually at the show. And she posted this photo, and she posted this tweet, which I'll show you here. It says, for those wondering, no, they don't allow fans. I happen to have a very non-wrestling-related connection that happened to get me this opportunity. It is still a closed set. So for those people wondering, how could they have fans in? Not exactly the case. This sounds to me like a friends and family type of situation, kind of like what WWE was doing at the Performance Center until it became a COVID hotspot. That lasted all of 1 week, and then they did away with it. So anyway, hopefully that clarifies exactly what they were doing here on this show. We had the Young Bucks against Evil Uno and Stu Grayson of the Dark Order. I thought this was a fun opener. I thought it was a, yes, believe it or not, I'm using the word fun and the Dark Order in the same sentence. I know. It's crazy, right? I mean, what kind of drugs am I on? But it was a fun 10-minute sprint. Dark Order members, right out of the gate, Young Bucks come out, and they get attacked by a bunch of the Dark Order dweebs on stage until Evil Uno comes out, Stu Grayson comes out, match begins. One of the highlights of the match was Nick Jackson was outside the ring, and he had sent Grayson over the barricade into the empty fan area. So he sends him over the barricade, and he goes back, and I guess Evil Uno is hanging through the ropes or hanging on the apron or whatever, gives him a super kick. Grayson is springboarding off of the guardrail, and the camera caught it just in time. He caught him with a super kick. It wasn't quite Shawn Michaels and Shelton Benjamin, but it was very similar. So that was one of the highlights of the match. Grayson then, they regain control, sent Matt Jackson outside. So they send Matt Jackson, I guess they take him through the tunnel. They're getting rid of Matt Jackson. And then the Dark Order is kind of standing guard by one of the entrance tunnels to block him. Now, I thought Matt was just going to come out the other entrance tunnel. But in fact, to prove what a bunch of losers the Dark Order are, Nick Jackson is all alone. It's a handicap situation. What happens? He manages to get a sunset flip pin for the 1-2-3. He didn't need his brother. He beat the Dark Order all by himself. And that was it. So I thought that was leading to something. It really didn't lead to anything, which was kind of weird. And again, I'm not the biggest Dark Order fan, but I did think, wow, you want to make these guys look like a bunch of dweebs? Well, that's one way to do it. But then again, you know what? Look, say what you want to about the Young Bucks. They're a big enough team. I don't think they should be losing to the Dark Order. I think it was the right outcome. So for the 10 minutes that it lasted, I thought it was a lot of fun. So I got to figure out why these super chats are not showing. So as they come in, I'm going to have to figure out. Let me see if I can figure out a different way. Before I fall too far behind, I want to make sure I get to all you guys. What's going on? We had Spermy the Butt Hamster. First time hearing from Spermy. A major congratulations to Solomonster in winning the most important match of his career tonight. Cheers, brother, to a well-earned victory. Well, you know what they say. I love how I opened the stream basically talking about how I was disappointed in my own match, if that's the case. Food Hive, the Dark Order has been the best thing on Being the Elite for a month. Reynolds and Silver are comedy gold. Well, they may have been the best thing on Being the Elite. I can't say the same thing about Dynamite. But I will take your word for it. I'm a little behind on Being the Elite, so I can't exactly say what's been going on with the Dark Order. And Tenorio. Tenorio with the $5. Walmart sold out of AEW action figures. Yeah, how many of you have actually, I don't know what the age group is right now on this stream, but has anybody gone to Walmart to pick up, like, the replica belt or anything? I'm curious if they're selling well. Like, have you gone to Walmart? Are they in stock? Are there a lot of them? Or are they sold out? Apparently, people have been running to Walmart to get the figures, to get the belt. All right, MJF. MJF has been on the ball. He's been on point now the last several weeks. He's been great with what they have given him. He came out tonight for another, I guess, campaign rally, campaign speech, call it whatever you want. He's in the ring with the podium. He's got the red carpet, the red velvet carpet rolled out for him. His latest poll numbers, MJF, 500%. John Moxley, minus 1,000%. I think his math is a little off. I wasn't a math major in college, but something tells me those numbers are a little off. Just a hunch. Calls him Dictator John again. Dictator John is not used to dealing with someone who will not happily look up at the lights for him. He's not happy to be dealing with somebody who won't do a job for him. And so to make him more comfortable, he lays down on the mat and he looks up. And I thought this was cool because I thought it was a drone at first. It wasn't a drone, but they had an overhead camera. So they had an overhead camera shot as MJF is laying down on the mat, and the camera slowly pans down. See, it feels odd for me to be complimenting camera work from a wrestling company instead of bashing the fact that it makes me want to vomit. It's nice. It's nice to be able to praise some of the camera work for once. I thought that was a cool shot. I thought that overhead shot was cool. He says, "Why wait until All Out?" Tells Moxley, "Fork over the keys to someone who's better than you." All of a sudden, Moxley's music hits and MJF freaks out. He sends Wardlow and all of his bodyguards into the crowd. He always comes through the crowd. Go, 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 go into the crowd. And you knew. You just knew the minute he did that, right? He was all by himself. Here's what I want to know, right? So he's out there. He's got Wardlow. He's got these bodyguards. Just send the bodyguards. Like, Wardlow is your personal bodyguard. Why would you send him away? Now there's nobody in the ring. MJF is all by himself. So, of course, John Moxley, for the first time in his career in AEW, comes through the entrance tunnel and just walks to the ring like a regular wrestler. And he gets into the ring and beats the shit out of MJF, throws him into the side of the podium, hoists him up, elevated paradigm shift, dropped him right on top of his head. That was pretty nuts. MJF sold a neck injury after. He was crying in pain. So I thought this was good. As we get closer to the pay-per-view, though, I'd like to see, because Moxley is no slouch either on the microphone. MJF is on another level right now, I think, from everybody else in AEW. He's just been fantastic. He's been great. Still doesn't change my opinion that Moxley should go over it All Out. But MJF has been great. Well, Moxley's a good promo, too. He's a very good promo. So I hope that, I don't need a contract signing, but maybe it is some kind of, we already had a debate, but some kind of back and forth where we can get the two of them on the microphone together, maybe the week before, I guess next week, right? That's one of the final, maybe the second to last Dynamite before the pay-per-view. I want to get them together in the same place in the ring, on the microphone, one-on-one. To me, that would be quality television. So I'm hoping that's what we are building to. Prince Walker with the $15. I missed your message. That was way too quick for me. Let me see if I can scroll back. Here we go. Well, that's what he mentioned earlier about watching BTE. Bill Mitchell. I haven't heard from Bill in a long time. What's going on, Bill, with the $25 drop? The main event botch fest was reason enough for Jeff Zucker to call for a re-examining of AT&T's partnership with AEW. Wow. Well, I could see that he was no fan of that main event. I would not go that far. Personally, I would not go that far. But, Bill, you will be happy to know that you are now the new top donator. So I'm going to give you your just due here on the board. even though you clearly did not like this main event, which I will get to a little bit later. But I'm going to give you your just rewards. So there you go. Bill Mitchell. Bill Mitchell is now the new leader at $25 on the board. Food Hive. Tony Khan cameo tonight shows that he dresses just like me. T-shirt and basketball shorts. And Dried Chicken Without Flavor, the new Four Horsemen are coming. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm going to get to that. That might have been, honestly, that might have been my favorite segment on the show tonight, was the Tag Team Appreciation segment. That may well have been my favorite on the show tonight. So 13 stitches in the head. 13 stitches in the head for Matt Hardy last week at the hands of that chair that hit him in the head from Sammy Guevara. And I got to tell you this, because AEW did not do this justice on the show tonight. I'm going to tell you what I mean. So last week, we saw the segment with Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara where Sammy laid him on the table. He grabbed apparently the wrong chair. He chucked it at Mike. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. He chucked it at Mike Hardy, yes, and it hit him in the head. The leg of the chair caught him in the head. It was a very nasty gash. I remember talking about it on the stream last week. Some people thought he used a blood capsule. There ain't no blood capsule. Unless he dropped the blood capsule in the gash in the middle of his forehead. And he had to be stitched up. And I know Rebby was not happy about Rebby's. You don't want to get on Rebby's bad side. I mean, she's never happy about anything. But Matt cut a promo on his YouTube channel. He posted a 3.5-minute promo outside of his home. And he put it up on YouTube. And this was a freaking awesome piece of business. If you didn't see it, I want you all, when this stream is over, to go to Matt Hardy's YouTube channel and watch this promo, because it was just fantastic. And I really think it was a missed opportunity for them not airing it tonight. They could have done something in the building, but I think as the lead into this segment, they should have aired that whole thing. It was 3.5 minutes. And I know TV time is valuable. Every minute counts on live TV. I get that. And yes, the show was live tonight. I know some people think it was taped. It was live. But they should have made time to air this, because this video, this sold me on the match at the pay-per-view. Now, this segment here on this show was Matt in the back with Alex Marvez. Marvez says he won't be medically cleared to wrestle for 10 more days. 10 more days just so happens to be next Saturday, August 22nd, which is the next episode of Dynamite. That's when he will be medically cleared. And Matt says all of his rage and all of his fury, he's going to use it to end Sammy. He spots someone walk by who from behind looks like Sammy Guevara. He's got the hat, he's wearing the leather jacket, and he attacks him. He goes after this person. Turns out to be referee Mike Posey. And Alex Marvez is selling it like, Matt, are you okay? It's almost like Matt's not all there. I mean, we've known that for years. The guy thinks he's from an alternate dimension, for Christ's sake. I don't think Matt Hardy has been good for a few years now. But I guess his thing is he's slipping in and out of his alter egos. He was using an accent at one point. So I guess from the chair shot now, he's slipping in and out of Broken Matt, Woken Matt, Damascus, whatever his alter egos are. Do yourselves a favor. Watch that YouTube promo. I'm telling you, it was great stuff. Better than anything they did on this show with these two. And it's single-handedly sold me on their match at the pay-per-view. We had Cody against Scorpio Sky for the TNT Championship, the newly finished TNT title. Allow me to show you what the finished product looks like. That is the finalized version on your screen of the TNT Championship. This title was introduced, of course, a few months ago, and they said due to the pandemic, it was not finished, but it was coming. And it wasn't going to be all silver. There was going to be gold. And Cody had tweeted a few weeks ago. He said August 12. Well, today's August 12, and there it is. And I will say this. The added texture around, you know, in that center plate there, definitely makes a world of difference. Before, it was completely plain and just flat. So that fills it in very nicely. I am not sold on there basically being a mirror in the middle of the belt. That's what it is. You can see the reflection. It's a freaking mirror in the middle of the belt. I am not sold on that. I not sold on that. And the glitter, what looks like glitter, I'm sure it's not, but it looks like glitter on the letters in the middle. Again, I'm a belt nerd, so I notice these things. But it's an improvement. I'll say that much. It is an improvement over what they had before. That much I will say. It is definitely an improvement. So anyway, that's what the championship looks like. Let me just see here. Before we get into the match, I think I missed someone. I think I missed Tyler with the $5. At what point do people start getting fed up with Cody going over his talent? I can't be the only one who are over Cody winning on TV every week. Well, let's get into it here, since you just spoiled the result of the match. No, I'm kidding. It's all good. Scorpio Sky. Scorpio Sky literally kicked the door in. That was his entrance. They put a door in the tunnel. It said no admittance, and he kicked the door in. So that was his special entrance here on the show. Get it? Because he's kicking down doors. He's knocking down boundaries. Cody's entourage continues to grow each week. 1 week he'll come out with 3 people, then it's 5, then it's 8. Now he comes out with like 38 people. I'm surprised he's not out there with Secret Service protection. Maybe that's coming up next week. His entourage is getting fatter and fatter every week. Justin Roberts, he had Justin Roberts introduce him as the Prince of Pro Wrestling. Even Jim Ross commented on commentary. He thought that was a little much. So clearly the march to the inevitable heel turn continues. We are seeing it each and every week. Each and every week that goes by, we are seeing the march to the heel turn. But the really cool thing here was who the referee was. We had an appearance for the first time in an AEW ring by former WWE referee Mike Chioda. Mike Chioda made his Dynamite debut tonight as the official in this championship match. After 33 years working for Vince McMahon, he was fired only a few months ago. And this was when he had just come back or was about to come back from a torn rotator cuff. He had just signed a new contract not too long ago, and they cut him. So much for loyalty. Well, AEW came in, and at least for one night, I don't know if it's official or not, but they swooped him up for one night. I thought this was very cool. I was very happy for him. Now, I listened to him when he was on Chris Jericho's podcast a few months ago. And, you know, you could tell that he was blindsided by the release. He was not done. You know, there's more to come from me. I don't know where I'm going to land, but I can't wait to get back out there. The fact that he was even on Jericho's podcast should have been a tip-off that he had a foot in the door if he wanted it. So I just thought it was really cool to see him out there, just in terms of tenure. You know, probably the best referee in the business right now. Certainly the longest tenured, most experienced. AEW brought in Earl Hebner early on, and I thought they were using him for special matches. We have not seen Earl. And I don't know if that's because of the pandemic, and he's freaking old, or what, because I feel like we weren't really seeing him even before then. So I don't know what's going on with Earl Hebner. It could just be age. You know, Earl's an old man. His name is Earl. Do you know any young people named Earl? Because I don't. He's an old man. Mike Chioda now is he's the head guy now. He's the head cheese in terms of all the referees out there. So this was the usual Cody fanfare that we see in these TNT title matches. You know, they took a bump out together over the top rope to the floor. They went out at the same time. Cody was selling his ribs. Scorpio Sky was selling a possible back injury. Cody was putting him in the bow and arrow, so working on the back some more. Scorpio came back with a cutter on the stage. Back and forth they went. He kicked out of a crossroads. Cody hit the crossroads the first time. I said, they can't do this guy in this easily. Can't end here. He kicked out, and then he hit a flatliner for a near fall. Cody blocked a springboard cutter, hit a second crossroads, and got the pin. To me, I would not have had Scorpio Sky win, but it just felt anticlimactic to me. This is the first time watching one of these Cody matches, because I like the gimmick. I like the open challenge gimmick. I like giving opportunities to new people. I like giving opportunities to certain unsigned talents or independent talents to, you know, put them on TV, let them show what they got. I like that. I like that. This was the first time I watched a Cody match, and I felt kind of the way that, we had Bill with the Super Chat before. I think it was a Bill talking about how he's just fed up with these Cody matches. It's starting to feel very much, very repetitive, I guess. It's starting, there's a sameness to it now that's starting to sink in. So if they are progressing to a heel turn, if they're going somewhere with it, I hope they get to it sooner rather than later. I feel like another 2, 3, 4 weeks of this, and it is going to get old. Even for people like me who like what they've been doing, it's going to get old. But I am fine with the finish, and I'll tell you why in a second. We had Brody Lee on the Tron. When the match was over, they showed Brody Lee up on the Tron, and he had the old TNT title, the unfinished silver and red TNT championship belt. He can keep it. And he promised to return it to Cody after he beats Cody next week on Dynamite. Next Saturday night, they're going to have a match for the TNT championship, and he says that after he beats Cody for the new belt, he'll give him the old belt back. Cody has said that he almost didn't want the belt to change. He wanted to keep the unfinished one because it was the belt that he won. It had a special, you know, fondness to him. And so Brody has said that he will gladly return it to him after he beats him for the championship next week. And he said, TikTok, time's up. Karrion Kross said, gimmick infringement, cease and desist is coming. I know a lot of people thought or were hoping that Scorpio Sky might pull off the win here. Again, I'm glad they held it off. I'm glad they held it off. And look, it does not do the Dark Order any good. It does not do the Dark Order any good to have Brody Lee go out there next week and lose. Especially after they lost to the Young Bucks tonight. You're trying to build up the Dark Order. If you're a Dark Order fan, a Brody Lee loss after he already lost to Jon Moxley, a Brody Lee loss next week would not do him or the Dark Order any good. But I hope they stay the course. I hope they stay the course. Look at the bigger picture here with Cody, right? We can see where this is going in terms of him going down that heel road. Stay the course, and I'm holding out for that Darby Allin match. We didn't see Darby Allin on the show tonight. He's going to be in action next week. I just think he's the guy. It's not Scorpio Sky. It's not Brody Lee. I think it should be Darby. And I think maybe it comes. Maybe it's not even a case of waiting for a Cody heel turn. Maybe it's a case where the match happens and the person who Cody loses to is Darby, and that's what sends him over the edge. It could be as simple as that. And then you want to continue the feud? You can continue the feud. You could have Cody win the belt back and then Darby can chase him. But however you want to do it, I feel Darby is the guy. He's lost to Cody or gone to a draw with him. He has yet to beat him. The story is in him being the one. To me, if Brody Lee beats him and then maybe Cody wins the belt back, well, he's already been beaten. You've kind of not ruined the story, but you've taken some of the shine off of it. So I'm hoping they kind of hold out for that moment, personally. That's what I'm hoping for. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page defending the AEW Tag Team Championships on this show against Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus, when he came out, he looked into the camera and he said hello to his mom. He said hello to Mamasaurus. Said it only took 65 million years, but here he is finally getting a championship match. And Taz ribbed, I thought this was great, Taz ribbed JR. He said, weren't you around calling his matches 65 million years ago? And JR was throwing it to a commercial break, and as he's throwing it to the commercial break, he calls him a smartass. So they're kind of ribbing each other back and forth throughout the show. I thought the match was okay. I really wasn't a fan of this match. I actually enjoyed the opening match with the Dark Order and the Bucks a little bit more. I don't know. Just to me, it was just a bunch of, it was so much back and forth, just dives, and it was hard, a little hard to keep track of what was going on. But I don't know. I mean, as far as Omega and Hangman go, I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling this match. Omega hit a... I'll tell you what I was feeling. Marco Stunt was feeling it. He was feeling the Snapdragon from Kenny Omega on the floor. Kenny Omega Snapdragon the fuck out of this guy. Right on the floor. Because he was sticking his little nose in his business earlier. Now look, I understand that on Monday nights he's running around with a black mask and a black hoodie on, you know, with and a chainsaw. And now he's on Dynamite, right? He's cross-branded, this guy. But Marco Stunt, he's trying to get involved in this match. If I'm Kenny Omega, I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing the same damn thing. Hell, I'd Snapdragon him into the guardrail. Little prick. So he laid him out. But after he does this, he Snapdragons Marco. As Omega stands up, the camera guy is perfectly positioned. Jungle Boy launches himself. I mean, launches himself through the ropes. It was like 3D. I thought he was coming through the camera. And thankfully, Kenny Omega caught him. He almost died on this move. He came out like a bullet, almost went headfirst into the floor or the guardrail, which is a scary thing. I mean, we had, was it La Parca? I want to say it was La Parca. Not the WCW La Parca. But the Mexican wrestler who died on a similar type of dive, you know, and his head hit in just the wrong spot. Dangerous stuff. You know, you really are relying on your opponent to be very precise and catch you at the right moment. And I feel like some of these guys think that they're just invincible and they do these things. I mean, he was coming in at 50 miles an hour. It was crazy. So it made for a great visual on TV, but man, that was a little scary. Jason Jimerson with the $40. Love seeing RSPW make a triumphant return to the Sound Off. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. In fact, that's a great moment for a cheap plug. Right on cue, Jason. There it is. RSPW Rewind, for those of you who may have missed it, is back. And now it's on video here on YouTube. It is now a YouTube exclusive. Almost half an hour. If you missed it, when you're done here, go check it out. It's on the YouTube channel. That is one of the subjects of RSPW Rewind. Shawn Michaels collapsing on Monday Night Raw back I don't even know my years anymore. In 1995. That was a long time ago. So anyway, if you missed it, definitely go back and check that out. Jason Jimerson now. Look at this. Jason Jimerson just moved into the lead here on our leaderboard. Let me give him his just rewards here. Everybody loves seeing their name in lights. How about seeing your name on YouTube? Right? People love that. People love that. So there you go. Jason Jimerson, you are the new leader. $40 on the board as we move along. Oh, my goodness gracious. Is that Tyler? Tyler Hansen with the $41. What is this? The Price is Right? It's like, I watch The Price is Right sometimes. You'll have everybody doing a bid, and then that one guy goes, I bid $1. And I'm like, you prick. Tyler Hansen, do you think they should reform DT when Pac returns? Oh, Death Triangle. What do you think their ceiling is? And do you believe that AEW will allow Pentagon to tap into that versatile singles ability that he has shown his career? Well, I'll say this much. I think there was a lot of potential in that trio, and I hope it all depends on when Pac comes back. I mean, really, at the end of the day, that's what matters, right? If Pac's not going to come back for a while, then, you know, they may have no choice but to abandon the whole idea. But I mean, look, I'd like to see that version of Pentagon that we saw in Lucha Underground. I'm not going to lie. I miss that guy. I think Pentagon and Phoenix can have very successful singles careers for themselves on the AEW roster. So when they're done with this tag team thing, I hope that that is what we end up seeing. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm down for a singles push for Pentagon. Absolutely. Hey, shit, I've been down since Lucha Underground went under. I've been down since the moment he came into AEW. You kidding me? So Luchasaurus, he blocks the Buckshot Lariat attempt by Hangman and Omega, delivers a double suplex to Omega and Page. He presses Marco Stunt. I was hoping he was going to throw him into the third row, but there's no rows, right? There's just the guardrail and just the whole empty area. And so instead, he dumped him out onto Kenny Omega. Before that, Jungle Boy, though, he got his foot caught in the ropes. He was going for a tornado DDT. He got his foot caught in the ropes, hit the move, but it looks like he may have hurt himself. So I'm hoping it wasn't anything serious. You know, sometimes shit happens and guys legit get hurt, and we don't find out until the next day. Hopefully he's okay. Adam Page hit a powerbomb, stack powerbomb on Jungle Boy for a near fall. Finish came with the last call, the buckshot V-trigger combo to Jungle Boy for the 1-2-3. So, not surprisingly, Hangman and Omega remain the tag team champions. Again, I just wasn't feeling this match. It was all right, but I wasn't really a big fan of it. Cannot say that I was a big fan of that match. Those damn Dippin' Dots. Damn you, Dippin' Dots. Just paying attention to the chat here. People are going to be listening to this on the download going, what's he talking about? Dippin' Dots. What's he talking about? We got Dippin' Dots in the chat. Santana and Ortiz. They were in the back in the showers. Not showering each other, but they were in the showers and they were talking about Trent. They were talking about Chuck Taylor. And apparently they stole their bag of gear, their ring gear. They threw it in the showers. They poured bleach on their gear. Santana laughed off the idea that he would ever apologize to Mama Trent. And they walked off. And that was the segment. JC Zephyr, who becomes AEW champion first? Pentagon, Phoenix, or Pac? Oh, boy. You know what? I'm going to say... that's tough, man. It could be any of those three. Honestly, it could be any of those three. I'm thinking Pac. You put me on the spot, Pentagon and Phoenix, maybe a tag team for a while longer, I'm going to say Pac. I am going to say Pac. He's my pick. Pac is my pick. Pick the Pac. There you go. Pick the Pac. Nathan Cadia with the $10. I thought the MJF Moxley segment was one of the best things all year. Much love and thank you for everything as always. Well, thank you for the support. I can't put you on the leaderboard. We got a whole bunch of people ahead of you, but thank you for the support. So in celebration, this was my favorite segment of the night. This right here, I think, was my favorite segment of the show. And I had nothing, and there was no match. There was some action, but there was no match. So in celebration of Tag Team Appreciation Night, they came back from break with the Young Bucks, FTR in the ring, along with Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, and Ricky and Robert, the Rock and Roll Express. By the way, I do have a bone to pick. Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard were on a podcast this past week. I don't remember what podcast. Was it Talk is Jericho, or was it the AEW official podcast? I don't recall. They were on some kind of show. Somebody in the chat clarify for me. But anyway, they were on a podcast this week together. And they billed it as the first time ever that Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard were together on a podcast. And I saw that and I said, what's Scott? Okay, Scott says it was Talk is Jericho. Well, fuck Jericho, and I'll tell you why. That is not the first time that Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard were on a podcast together. You know how I know that? Because they were on my podcast together. That's right. Sound Off 212. If you want to go back in the archives and download it. I was in Miami for WrestleMania weekend. I had access to a whole bunch of WWE guys before WrestleMania 28. I mean, we got Cena, Daniel Bryan, Edge, Shawn Michaels, a lot of great stuff. But the coolest thing of all for me was being able to sit 5 feet away at the same table with Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. They brought him on over to me. And for whatever it was, 10 minutes or 12 minutes or whatever it was, I had the chance to interview them. And by the way, I had no idea I was going to interview them. I didn't know I was going to interview Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard until I saw them walking towards me, until the WWE handler was walking them towards me because they were in town for the Hall of Fame that weekend. I think the Horsemen were going in, I think. I think Dusty was inducting them, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, that is bullshit. It is the second time that they are on a podcast together. If you want to hear them the first time. Now, granted, I only had them for 10 minutes. I didn't have them for an hour, like Jericho probably did. But, there's a lot of newer fans who may never have heard that episode. So, Sound Off 212. That is one of the many interviews that I was very honored and proud to have gotten that weekend. So, they're in the ring with the Rock and Roll Express and the Young Bucks and FTR. And the Young Bucks said, look, he looks at the Rock and Rolls and he says, there would be no Sean and Marty without the Rock and Roll Express. there would be no Matt and Jeff without the Rock and Roll Express. And there would be no Matt and Nick Jackson without the Rock and Roll Express. Dax Harwood chimes in. He says for 7 years, he's had the chance to travel the world with his best friend, provide a great life for his family, his wife, his kids, or kid. I don't know how many kids he has. And he thanks all four legends in the ring. So right now, it's one big kumbaya session, right? Everyone's kissing each other's asses. But these are legends, right? These are legends in the ring. Ricky Morton takes the mic, and he puts both teams over. I already knew this from his time on NWA Power. Ricky Morton is, he's still got it. On the microphone, he's fucking great. Ricky, I could listen to Ricky Morton cut promos all day long. Robert Gibson doesn't do much. Robert Gibson just stands there, but Ricky Morton is the one. Ricky Morton is the one. You put a mic in his hand, and man, he still got it after all these years. So I thought that was great. Then Arn Anderson, talk about great talkers, right? Arn Anderson takes the microphone. And Arn Anderson takes the mic, and he tells the Bucks, you know, you guys, I can't even put into words. You guys have taken tag team wrestling to a whole new level. What you guys have done, but you know, you guys have revolutionized the business. He's putting over the Bucks. And then he turns to the Rock and Roll Express, and he says, you guys have been partners for 40 years. He goes, you guys are the tag team of the century. You guys have been together forever. And then he goes, and this might ruffle some feathers, but he looks over at FTR, and he says that FTR may be the best tag team in the world. The best tag team in the world. He's putting them over like, you guys are the best, right? So then, all of a sudden, Ricky Morton's about to respond. So, Ricky Morton is about to respond when Tully Blanchard rips the microphone out of his hand. He rips the microphone out of his hand, and he tells the Rock and Roll Express, listen, you don't want to start something you can't finish. And as good as Ricky Morton is on the microphone, and as good as Arn Anderson still is on the microphone, Tully Blanchard's pretty damn good on the microphone, too. I'm telling you, these older guys, you know, they may be older, and they may be slower, and maybe they can't go anymore. I mean, Ricky Morton's still in there, for God's sakes, doing Canadian Destroyers. He can still go. Robert Gibson can do what he needs to do. That was the one thing I always noticed when I was watching them on NWA Power, is that Ricky was in the ring really taking a lot of the, like, the big bumps and stuff like that. And maybe Ricky's body just, or Robert's body just can't take it anymore. But, you know, Tully is telling these guys off, and he's great. He says, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time because he has more rings, he has more championships than anyone else. And the limited number of people who are there start booing. So apparently, Tom Brady is like, that's like a siren goes off for like instant boos, right? Unless you're in Boston, I guess. I don't know. And even there, he'd probably get booed there too. So he mentions the Tom Brady stuff, and he goes, right now, neither one of these two teams, the Bucks are not the champions, and FTR are not the champions. So you guys are here blowing smoke at each other, and everyone's blowing smoke up your asses, but I don't see gold on either one of you guys. Where are the belts? I don't see tag team titles around either one of your waists. Then he turns his attention to Arn, his buddy Arn. And he looks over at Arn Anderson, and he points out the fact that a year ago, at All Out, you got involved in my man's match. It was Sean Spears against Cody, and you got involved in that match. And I look at what you're wearing right now on your chest, right? Arn's got a shirt on with the Nightmare Family logo or insignia or whatever on it. So he's got that logo on his chest, and he says, I don't know, I don't get this. I don't get you being part of the Nightmare Family. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know what? He's right. He's right. He's absolutely right. Think about it. Why would a horseman align with a member of the Rhodes? Why would they link up with a member of the Rhodes family? You talk about long-term storytelling going back to the old NWA days. He's got a point. He's got a point. I'm shocked Arn hasn't turned on Cody already. Why would a horseman help a Rhodes? Doesn't make any sense. So Ricky Morton throws a right hand to Tully. Sean Spears walks out. He's holding back Tully. And in trying to separate them, Dax Harwood, he falls down. He teases that his knee was once again injured. He teased this a week ago. teases that his knee has gone out on him, and he pulls off his knee brace. And I don't know if he handed it to him or Cash Wheeler took it from him. And Wheeler clobbers Robert Gibson from behind with the knee brace. And Jim Ross is freaking out on commentary. So they take out Robert Gibson. FTR grabs Ricky Morton. They set him up for the spike pile driver. And they wrecked this guy. I mean, they pile drove the hell out of this guy. They spiked him down right on the mat. What a goddamn sell by Ricky Morton. That was great. Ricky, again, I said before, Ricky's out there doing Canadian destroyers and taking spike pile drivers at 63 years old. God bless him. How many guys that have been doing this as long as the Rock and Roll Express have been doing this, when they're at that stage of their lives, how many wrestlers at that age have we seen at conventions and events that can barely move? Or they're in a wheelchair, or they're with a walker or a cane. And this guy's still going. He's still going. He's slower, but he can go. He can talk. Ricky Morton, man. So like I said, JR freaked out on commentary, and the Bucks came back over to assist Gibson and FTR, hugged outside the ring. So there's the heel turn, and a possible sign of things to come with them maybe linking up with Arn and Tully. If we get this faction that looks like it may possibly be brewing. Remember the name that Arn used a few weeks ago? What was the name? Oh my goodness, they were toasting. They toasted Mid-Atlantic. Toasted to Mid-Atlantic. I'm saying it's going somewhere. That wasn't put out there for nothing. It's going somewhere. I thought this was a great segment. And it got me thinking that maybe we're heading for a triple threat match. Maybe the match at All Out is not FTR against Hangman and Omega, even though I wish it would be. Maybe it's a triple threat. Maybe it's Hangman and Omega defending against the Bucks and FTR. Because I can't imagine the Young Bucks are just going to be on the outside looking in at one of the biggest pay-per-views AEW does all year. They have no other obvious match. And what are you going to do? Put them in there again against the Dark Order? They did that this week. They're doing it again next week. Enough with the Dark Order against the Elite. So we may be heading for a triple threat at the pay-per-view. Call me old school. Again, I'd rather the first meeting between FTR and the Bucks be one-on-one and not be in a triple threat match. But, you know, they could still have FTR beat the Bucks. Beat the Bucks to the belts. So they get the belts before the Bucks do, but they do it, and it's Hangman and Omega who take the losing fall. This serves two purposes, right? It gets the belts on FTR, who then go off to feud with the Bucks one-on-one in the fall, and that loss is the catalyst for the split between Hangman and Omega. So a triple threat could serve two purposes. So that work, I guess that works too. I suppose that also works. The Mid-Atlantic boys, thank you very much. Yes, I knew it was something with... I knew it was something with Mid-Atlantic. So it was the Mid-Atlantic boys. That's what it was. It was the Mid-Atlantic boys. Let's play catch up here. I know I missed some messages, so I want to make sure I get to all you guys. Dry chicken without flavor. Recent weeks, I'm starting to feel like AEW is in danger of being creatively bankrupt in terms of how they book their women's division. I'm giving up on them temporarily. Giving up on AEW or giving up on the women's division? A lot of people, I think, have given up on the women's division. Spanish Goddess, I have a feeling someone will debut against Sheeta. Yeah, it is very weird that they have not yet announced an opponent. I'm going to talk about Sheeta here in a second, but it's very open-ended right now. You know, so I don't know. Maybe they're going to reintroduce somebody. Maybe somebody who's been off TV is coming back. Nyla Rose. What's Nyla Rose doing? She's got a new manager. Who's number one in the rankings? I don't have the rankings in front of me. But whoever's number one in the rankings, in theory, should be challenging for the championship at one of their biggest shows of the year, I would think. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. We had a backstage segment with Chris Jericho and Mike Chioda. And Jericho welcomed him and mentioned the fact that many years ago he had saved his job in WWE. Didn't say WWE, but he mentioned that he had saved his job many years ago. Thunder Rosa. Somebody just mentioned Thunder Rosa. Now that would be a very interesting match. Thunder Rosa. You know, I hadn't thought of that. Because Thunder Rosa is still the NWA Women's Champion. So she's still under contract with the NWA. If they could get her, I think that would be great. Thunder Rosa is very good, and that would be a hell of a surprise. I don't know about like her first match being against Sheeta, though, for the belt, because that means she's going to lose. I'm not a huge fan of debuting people like that, like right in the biggest match you could do, but that would be a hell of a surprise. So Jericho is telling Kyoto, you know, you and I, we go back a ways. I saved your job once before. And he's telling him tonight, you're going to be the referee for my match. I was shocked because Aubrey Edwards is usually the referee of choice in Chris Jericho's matches. Maybe she just wasn't there tonight. I don't know. But Kyoto was going to be the ref. And he told Kyoto, do the right thing. He's dropping little hints about, you know, he wants him to cheat. He wants him to, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And he says, if you look the other way, then maybe I'll save your job again, only this time it'll be in AEW. And he walked off. So again, I don't know if Mike Chioda, if this was a one-shot or if he's under contract or not. I would think they probably signed him, but the way it kind of sounded here, maybe he's not signed. Maybe this was just a one-off appearance for the time being. Hikaru Shida against Heather Monroe, making her AEW debut, I believe. I don't know too much about Monroe, other than the fact somebody had, I think, messaged me and said that she is an independent wrestler from the West Coast, so she may be more well-known out West. I don't think I've ever seen her before. This was a squash. It was as it should have been, because Sheeta's the champion. Very quick. Sheeta wins with a stretch muffler, pulling the arm back as well. And so Monroe taps out. And after the match, Tony Schiavone was interviewing Hikaru Shida, and that's where Shida made the comment about a possible opponent, her next opponent, bring it on. That's what she said, bring it on. Nobody came out to interrupt her. Nobody came out to attack her. So, again, we're very close to the pay-per-view here, and we have no opponent for the women's champion, which probably says a lot about the state of the women's division, which is why one of our super chatters just super chatted in and said that he gave up on the women's division. He's not the only one. Unfortunately, a lot of people seem to feel the same way, which is sad, because it doesn't have to be that way. Jake the Snake. We had Jake the Snake Roberts in the back in the dressing room cutting a promo with Lance Archer beating up dudes in the background. Part of me thinks that it will never get old watching him do this, although he didn't throw anybody through the roof this time. I was very disappointed. I was waiting for him to throw somebody headfirst through the roof. He didn't do that, but he was beating guys up. Then he came over to Jake and he asked Jake, did you tell him yet? And Jake's like, no, man, I didn't tell him. And so he rips Jake's shirt. Jake had this dress shirt. He rips the shirt open and he spins Jake around and he lifts the shirt up. And on Jake's back in Sharpie is the message, everybody dies. For a moment, I thought he was going to beat up Jake. But Jake was acting like, oh, man, like he was being bullied or something. And then they just walked off. That I didn't like. I didn't like the fact that this guy is supposed to be his manager. I like the dark dynamic between them where Jake is just like, because Jake is also very kind of very sinister, lets the guy, you know, do all the dirty work for him, but he's like the mastermind. And here he just looked like a little bitch. Like they treated him almost like a punk. So I didn't like that. But I'll tell you what I also don't like is the fact that this guy is completely directionless right now. He has no direction. It's like they don't know what to do with him. Lance Archer is very good. Lance Archer is a big guy. It's a big, scary dude. And I feel like there's a few people, you can put Brian Cage in that category too. They have these guys, and it's like they don't exactly know what to do with them. Now, Cage just came in. Archer's been around a little bit longer than Cage has. So they're heading into a pay-per-view. He may not have a match on the pay-per-view. If that's the case, when this pay-per-view is over, I'd like to see him on TV actually doing something. This doesn't count. Fun as it is, it's got to be more. And so I just mentioned Brian Cage, and somebody, I think on the stream last week, actually had what I thought was a very interesting idea, which is Brian Cage is the FTW champion. Well, what does that mean? It's Taz's belt. Fuck the world. Okay, well, so what? Maybe he should defend it. Instead of it just being a prop, put it up. Maybe we get like a big man feud. Brian Cage and Lance Archer. What do you think about that? Just thinking about that. I think I can dig that. I like that idea. I can dig that idea. The whole concept of a big man feud, put the FTW title up. I know Cage had a thing going with Darby. I guess that's the feud right now, but I'm talking coming out of All Out. Cage and Darby may have a match at All Out. I'm talking about after the pay-per-view. What about Brian Cage and Lance Archer beating the hell out of each other, wrestling for the FTW title? It's almost like the FTW title becomes like a tough man title. What do you think about that? I think that could work. I think as an idea, I like that. But at least it would give him something to do. For God's sake, something. So then we had Chris Jericho against Orange Cassidy in a $7,000 obligation match. Now the stipulation, what does that mean? $7,000. The winner gets $7,000? No. Chris Jericho claims that his suit was $7,000. Orange Cassidy, when he dumped the orange juice, which apparently was some kind of mutant orange juice, it completely ruined his suit. And so Chris Jericho said when he wins this match, he will have to pay him back the money that the suit cost. That was the stipulation coming into this. I still, by the way, let me just say this. I'm sure you all saw the story about Jericho doing the Fozzie concert. He did multiple concerts, apparently. But he did at least one concert indoors. You know, everybody was spaced out. It was X capacity. I think it's very suspect even letting Jericho wrestle on this show. If that's what he wants to do, he's a big boy. But you know what? If I'm Tony Khan, if I'm Orange Cassidy, I'm thinking twice about working with this guy. He was just in Sturgis a few days ago. Thousands of people putting on concerts. You never know. You never know. AEW's done a pretty good job, actually. I mean, as compared to what WWE was doing, and now WWE finally got serious about it. But we've not heard about any cases outside of QT Marshall, and I think that was something maybe he picked it up at his Nightmare Factory or whatever his gym was. The last thing AEW needs is an issue where all of a sudden some talents are coming down with COVID or they think they might have it. Now this guy can't come in and they don't have access to this person and that person. And you have Jericho going out and doing concerts, knowing he had a match against Orange Cassidy. He was in the main event on this show. What the fuck is wrong with this guy? Just as a matter of just taking every precaution you can take to make sure you don't fuck this show up, that was a dumb thing for him to do. The timing of it was just incredibly stupid. So I question the intelligence of even letting him wrestle on this show. But they did, and out he was, and he came out, and so they're having a match. And Jericho's having issues with his knee. Cassidy puts him in an ankle lock. We're in the waning minutes now of the match. Codebreaker. Orange Cassidy kicks out. Jericho tries to use Floyd the baseball bat. He goes for the baseball bat. And he tells Mike Chioda, do the right thing. He wants Chioda to turn the other cheek. He's going to use the baseball bat, look the other way. And Chioda looks like he's going to. Jericho goes to use the bat. Chioda grabs the bat, yanks it out of his hand. And Jericho gets up in his face and he grabs him. Orange Cassidy from behind rolls him up. Schoolboy. Jericho kicks out. Falcon Arrow by Orange Cassidy. Again, Jericho kicks out. Penalty kick to the face by Orange Cassidy. All of a sudden we see on the stage Santana and Ortiz brawling with the best friends. I don't know if the best friends were on their way out for this to help out or how this all came about. I maybe they were just brawling in the back and the brawl spilled outside onto the stage. They're brawling. As this is going on, and I guess Chioda is distracted, Jake Hager sneaks on in and he grabs Orange Cassidy, picks him up for one of his amateur slams, slams him right down. Leaves the ring. Scurries out of there. Does Jake Hager. And Jericho tries to get the win. Orange Cassidy kicks out. Low blow. Jericho now lifts the leg, hits a low blow to Orange Cassidy. Goes for the Judas Effect. Judas Effect misses. And Orange Cassidy with a mousetrap, which is not a move you see very often on TV. He won the match, which he should have. This was built up for an Orange Cassidy win. He won with a mousetrap. I thought maybe he was going for like an Oklahoma roll or something, but he went for a mousetrap. And Jericho, I mean, he fell backwards so slowly, it looked like a botch. It looked like they were trying something else, and Jericho fucked it up. I think it was just a case of him falling backwards very slowly. Unfortunately, it was the finish. And as finishes go, I thought it was very underwhelming. I thought it sucked for a finish. It just didn't look good. I guess maybe that was the idea. He pulls this move out of nowhere. You know, again, I would have rather he just went for like a La Mahistral cradle or something. But he went for this mousetrap and Jericho. It was a mess. But he got the win, and I guess at the end of the day, right, that's all that kind of matters. It was messy. The match itself was good. I didn't think it was anything special. The other thing I didn't like about this is they clearly were running low on time. So he wins the match, and Orange Cassidy rolls out to the floor. They get a shot of Jericho all shocked. And within 20 seconds, they were off the air. Boom, they were done. They didn't really have time to give it a chance to breathe. Because that was a big deal. This is the biggest win of Orange Cassidy's career, which they did mention. But I felt like it's too bad that they didn't have any more time, even like another 60 seconds, just to kind of let it sink in, and they just cut away. So that was the show. I thought it was good, but not as strong as some of the recent shows that they've done. There were just including that main event finish and the Omega Hangman match. I really wasn't a big fan of that. But the segment with the tag team appreciation stuff I thought was great. I enjoyed that a lot. MJF has been great these last few weeks. So here's the update. Dynamite is not airing on Wednesday next week. Dynamite is being bumped because of the NBA schedule. What that means is I'm going to be live next Wednesday, as I am every week at 10 p.m., but we're going to be talking NXT. So instead of AEW, I hope you'll join me for an NXT review. That's next Wednesday. AEW instead is going to air on August 22nd. That's next Saturday. That happens to be the same night as NXT TakeOver. Now, Dynamite is supposed to air at 6 p.m., 6 to 8. That's going to overlap with TakeOver unless it gets bumped because of the NBA. The NBA game goes along, Dynamite may not air until the game is over. Then it's really going to overlap with TakeOver. I'm going to try to watch both. I think it may only be an hour that overlaps, so I'm going to try to watch both. And when NXT TakeOver is done, I'll have a hybrid live stream review next Saturday for Dynamite and for TakeOver. So I'm going to cover it all. You're going to get all of it live right here on YouTube. But that's my plan at this point. These next 2 weeks, in fact, Dynamite is preempted. Only airing on Saturday next weekend. The following week, it's bumped to the next night. So that'll be August 26th instead of the 26th. Again, I'll be here live for NXT. The next night, August 27th. Dynamite review right here on the YouTube channel. I got you covered. Don't worry about it. Next Saturday on Dynamite, we've got FTR against Private Party, The Elite, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks again against the Dark Order. My God. How many fucking times are we going to see the Young Bucks, The Elite, against the Dark fucking Order? And it's not even like, it's the scrubs of the Dark Order. It's like the lowest rung of the Dark Order. All due respect to Reynolds and Silver, and I think it might be Angels is the other one, I believe. I'm sure they're all very talented. But they have been positioned on the bottom rung of the Dark Order. But just anything Dark Order and Elite, I don't know, it just feels like enough. We've seen this a whole bunch of times. I don't have any interest in seeing this again. But they're going to give it to us. Butcher and the Blade. The Butcher and the Blade are going to be teaming up with the Lucha Bros against the Natural Nightmares, Dustin and QT, and Jurassic Express. And the big main event is for the TNT Championship. It's going to be Cody defending against Brody Lee. So that is going to be the main event for Dynamite next week. And I almost forgot, the finals of the Women's Tag Team Cup Tournament. So on Monday next week on YouTube, they're going to be airing the semifinals. And then that Saturday, the finals will actually take place on TV. So the whole tournament is on YouTube, but the finals will be on TV, and I'm okay with that, and I'll tell you why. There are some inexperienced females in this tournament. There have been some weak matches in this tournament. There are some women who are not ready for prime time that I have seen in this tournament. The final should be the best match, especially if it's maybe Ivelisse and Diamante, you know, in there. You know, they've got experience, obviously. So, in theory, the final should be the best match. You want to put the best match on TV. So that's all coming up on Dynamite next Saturday night. And I hope that you will join me, as you do every week for the live stream. Now, we're not done here. What I want to do here before we move on, we ain't done yet. Let's check these Twitter polls out. Here is the AEW poll. What did you think about Dynamite tonight? 79% thumbs up, 21% thumbs down, which is a very good score. It's actually a little less than what Dynamite normally would do. I'm curious what the NXT poll says. Ooh. Ugh. What did you think about NXT on USA? 59.6% thumbs up, 40.4% thumbs down. That is the worst NXT score that I can remember. And it's still positive. It's still more positive than negative. But I'm at a loss for trying to figure out if there has been a worse Twitter score. I don't believe there has been for an NXT show. Now I'm kind of curious now what the hell happened on NXT tonight. I'm kind of curious. I am kind of curious now to try to figure out exactly what the hell happened on NXT tonight, which I will be checking out tomorrow. I will check out NXT tomorrow and figure out what that's all about. But anyway, you can still vote at Solomonster as the place to go if you would like to participate in the poll. And again, as we move along here, I do want to give another thank you as the Super Chats come in. These are the top supporters tonight: Tyler Hansen, Jason Jimerson, Jared M., Bill Mitchell, and Chris Quillman, who was donating and dropping support here before we even went live tonight. So I gotta thank those guys big time for their support. And I want to take some of your phone calls, get some of your feedback on this Dynamite show here tonight. So why don't we get into it here, and we'll start with 631. What did you think of Dynamite?
Hey, Solomonster, how's it going?
Good.
I just have two quick questions about the show. I really like the show tonight. I like the tag team appreciation night atmosphere. So I think they should do more of that. But anyway, I just have two quick questions. One of them is about MJF and Jon Moxley in the title match. I don't know if you can see this happening, but can you see a possible, if they don't want to beat MJF clean, would you see a possible Wardlow turn on MJF, or MJF beats the crap out of Wardlow, or something happens with Wardlow that he cost MJF
well,
title match?
I don't think MJF has beaten up any. I don't think MJF has beaten up Wardlow. If anything, it'd be the other way around. I guess my issue with that is if that happens, I don't want to see babyface MJF. Not yet. That's way too premature. So if he gets beaten up, it's the kind of angle you would shoot if you were turning MJF babyface, and I don't want to see that. So it could be a case where he loses and he holds Wardlow responsible, and maybe he just fires him. You know, he lets him go, or you know, maybe not. Maybe he yells at him, but they stay together. I just think it's not the right time yet to put the title on MJF, but it's definitely not the time to be turning him babyface or doing anything that might do that. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's try to stay away from that. But the idea that he would beat up Wardlow to me is pretty comical.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it really doesn't make much sense in hindsight. But anyway, I have my last question is about NXT, and I did watch NXT tonight. I'm not going to spoil what happened, but there's a lot of people upset right now, and it's not because of a match result. You'll figure that out when you see it. But I
have a feeling I know what you're talking about, but I guess, well, is this in regards to a certain appearance on NXT?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I have a feeling I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. For that ladder match at a takeover, since we don't know some of the participants, we can't really make a judgment, but I really have my money on Cameron Grimes right now. I know you're not the biggest fan of him, but I really like what he's doing right now. And if you don't take him as seriously as, I don't know if they want you to, but...
Cameron Grimes. Right, that's how he says it?
I love that so much.
Cameron Grimes.
I don't know. I think it's just like different strokes, but
I can't hear like Rhymes without thinking of Carl and The Walking Dead. I just Rick. That's what I maybe that's where they got the name from. I don't know. Maybe I have no idea where they got the name from, but I think of Coral, as he used to call his son. Yeah, I mean, look, Cameron Grimes. I was not a fan of that match. With the fact that he was that competitive with Keith Lee, the champion last week. Keith Lee, who is in this violent mood, he's the champion. He's twice the guy's size, and they had this competitive 12-minute match or whatever it was. I just didn't think it was the right time for it. He's a very good wrestler. He just, you know, he doesn't do much for me. I feel like maybe with the right story, I could become kind of interested. His work is fine. I'm not a fan of his finishing move. I think it's dumb, but as a worker, he's very good.
Yeah, because I see him a priest going over at a takeover, but I can really see if he has that title, I could see him, that title elevating him a little bit and amplifying his character and his grimy attitude, I guess. But that's really all I had to call in about tonight. But thanks for taking my call, and I love the RSPW little video you put out. It was really funny.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, there it is again. For those who may have missed it, it is up on the channel right now, and I'm going to let you go. But if you missed it, it's almost 30 minutes long. It's a deep dive back in time to how the wrestling fans used to be on the internet when they were all classy and very articulate and very nice to each other, I'm sure, right? Yeah, bullshit. You want to see all these people who talk about how bad and toxic it is right now in the wrestling community online and on social media. And believe me, social media is very toxic. It is a cesspool more often than not, especially Twitter. Even though most people would say that and still be glued to their phones to it. It's like an addiction. But if you think this is some kind of new phenomenon or some kind of new concept, you need to take a look at some of these RSPW segments, and you will be astonished. You will be astonished at how little things have truly changed in 25 years, 30 years. So far back RSPW goes. You would be astonished, believe me. And not in a good way, but it's entertaining. It's all for entertainment, right? As long as it entertains us, that's all that matters. 202.
Yeah, this is Dead Man Walking Garrett here from D.C.
Garrett, what's going on, my friend?
You know, I enjoyed the show tonight, though. I would think that it was a very heavy Elite show. You know, Cody wins, and then later the Elite win. But, you know, again, the women got like 2 minutes tonight. The only thing I was interested in was the revealing of the new belt, which I have to say I agree with your assessment with the middle plate. If that belt goes through customs or if it gets scratched up in the middle of the match, they are screwed. It's going to be hard to try to hide those scratches if it over time gets like dulled up.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's like, you remember Shawn Michaels back when he was first branching out as a single star? He would take the Intercontinental belt and look in it as if he was looking at his reflection. So I feel like having like a mirror gimmick in the middle of the belt could work for certain wrestlers, like gimmick-wise. But I wish they would fill that in. I feel like if they filled that in, and I'm not a huge fan of the red strap either, but I feel like if they just filled that in a little bit, it would be better. It's still almost a little incomplete to me. But look, compared to what it was before, you know, it's more filled in, and it's an improvement. It's an improvement over what we saw before. Let me just give a shout out here to Dry Chicken Without Flavor. Says the NBA on TNT crew and AEW should do a collaboration since Jericho was on Inside the NBA back in November, and it is TNT. That would help AEW big time. Well, if you remember, early on, I think it was during some NBA games, they had like Marv Albert, I think, plug in some of the pay-per-views for AEW. So any kind of cross-promotion like that would be huge for the company, and I agree. It can't hurt. Synergy. Synergy. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You were, since you mentioned Synergy, one of the things I was kind of like thinking about, since basically this belt for TNT was basically going to be like the NWA TV title, I was thinking that instead of like the NBC or CBS type of side place from the NWA, it would have been like the Warner Media properties. Like you have HBO, you have CNN, you would have like TBS and all of those as a side plates. But I mean, that's an idea for, like, the, if they're ever trying to, like, create a new championship down the road for it. But my final thing I was going to probably bring up is, you know, since the G1 has now been announced to come back, which I don't know how they're going to pull this off, having about 20 people doing a tournament. I mean, I know they're not doing the mixed tags or anything. So I was going to ask you, how would AEW actually format a G1? Because I – trying to format a 20-person tournament would be like almost 6 months for Dynamite purposes. So I would say in my format would be like 8-person, 4 people for each bracket, and have it like go for air each block on Dynamite. Have it start beginning of the year, then later ended at Revolution with the finals. And so that would be like at least a 2-month tournament at least. So, and if that's so, and also who do you think would win that hypothetical G1 tournament for AEW? So other than that, just take care.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot about forgot to mention that the other day about the G1, which should be fun. I even when I don't have time for some of the other New Japan shows, I follow like the Tag League and all that. I follow the G1. This year, it's pushed back. Usually, it's in the summer, and because of the Olympics that ended up not happening, they bumped it to the fall, and so that'll be coming up. I think it starts in September, I believe. Right? I think in September. But as far as AEW doing one, I tell you what, I would trust AEW to probably do a better job than WWE would with that round-robin-style tournament. Although I guess that's kind of how they did the Cruiserweight tournament. But the Cruiserweight tournament, I mean, it turned into just the whole story was based around Drake Maverick. And that was, you know, pretty much it. And that tournament went over like a wet fart in church. I mean, it had no buzz around it. It seemed like nobody cared. I would review it every week. And yeah, there was some good action. But even the matches, there really wasn't a standout match in that entire tournament. How AEW would do it, I don't know. I mean, right now we're under these weird conditions, so there's a lot of people who would be in it who they don't have access to. In a perfect world, they'd have everybody, and they could stretch it out over a period of months. I think it would make for some great television. It would give meaning and purpose to some of the matches, and then in the end, you know, the winner would be able to cash in or become the automatic number one contender for the championship. And you know, as far as who would win, there's a lot of options. There's a lot of options, you know. I think if Cody won, people's heads would explode. probably stay away from Cody winning it. Moxley's already the champion. You've got a Darby. You've got a Lance Archer, right? You've got Darby Archer, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page. Maybe once the split happens, imagine the finals coming down to Omega and Hangman. Only one man can win. So there's a lot of fun things I think they could do if they wanted to do their own G1 style tournament. 407.
Solid Monster, this is Alex, the Florida man.
Hey, Alex.
So I like how you mentioned Walking Dead earlier in regards to Cameron Grimes, because I'm a huge Walking Dead fan.
Coral.
And I'm lucky enough to have met a lot of the cast, including Coral.
Oh, did you? I was going to say, did you meet Coral?
I did meet Coral.
Now you're Florida man. You're Florida man. Let me ask you this. You don't happen to live in Coral Gables, Florida, do you?
No, sir.
See, that would have been perfect. That would have been just just the best.
A man could dream. Maybe I'll move there, Solomon. I'll move there.
Well, yeah, maybe you should. Magician Sapphire, thank you, man, for the $10. I'm trying to just stay on top of these before they move because I can't keep track of the super chats the way I used to. If I missed anybody, by the way, send me a message because I feel bad if I missed anybody. But he says, I'm sure Cornette and Brian Last, that's his co-host, are going to have a field day ripping into Jericho in the main event of Dynamite this week. Well, not Jericho's best performance. Let's put it that way. But what's your question? I should have said that.
Oh, yeah.
What's your question? That was the whole message. But what's your question?
Okay. So
he was mesmerized. AEW. He was mesmerized by what I was saying. He was in a trance.
You see, AEW, I think it's the show's been consistently good every week. But I think, like, It's not as good as it can be without the crowd, you know? And I miss the crowd so much for all of the shows, to be honest.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, which show do you see getting the crowd back first? And then part two to that question is, do you have a moment, like a favorite crowd reaction moment? For me, it was last year when Edge came back at the Rumble.
Are we talking like all-time crowd moment or this year?
all time?
Oh, I mean, that's impossible. I mean, come on now. That's an impossible.
Or up to, or just one, of the all time.
Well, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, in terms of crowd reaction, there's a lot. The one I always go to is the reaction that Austin got when he came out for that run in the night that Foley won the belt, just because I don't think I've ever heard a reaction that loud before. And when the people are so loud that the building is shaking, that's a special moment. You know, I was watching The Bump. The only reason I was watching The Bump, that WWE YouTube show, is because Bret Hart was on. They had Bret Hart on as a guest. He was talking SummerSlam, because he is Mr. SummerSlam. And they mentioned the moment where it was a week or two before SummerSlam back in 2010 when he was joining with Cena and all them, Jericho, Edge against the Nexus. And they had that stare down in the ring, right, where they were all kind of face-to-face, getting ready to collide, and the reaction was insane. And you could literally see the building shaking. And then finally, when they all came together and a giant brawl broke out, the crowd was just apeshit. They went apeshit. So it's hard for me to narrow it down to just one, because there's been, I could give you a list probably of 50 if I put a whole list together. This is a lost year for AEW and for WWE. I mean, imagine all the moments we're missing out on. Think about that. Think about even an AEW. Let's keep this AEW focused. The way that Hangman was getting over, the way that Darby was over, I think back to that last pay-per-view before fans went away in February. And their matches were the standouts on that show, and in part because they got superstar reactions. So imagine them. Imagine when Matt Hardy debuted on Dynamite, right? Some of these guys, like the big debuts, FTR, all these special moments and big crowd reactions in buildings with 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people. It's a shame. It really is, because you can't get that back. You know what I mean? Those moments are gone. You can't redo your debut. You can't get those moments back. The crowd definitely adds something to these shows. The crowd is what I'll say this. One thing we've learned through this pandemic, the talent obviously is number one, because you can't have a match without talent. But after the talent, the fans are 1A. They are a huge part of why these shows are so enjoyable. There ain't nothing like a hot crowd. So I hope they come back very soon. Who's going to get them back first? You know, it's hard to say. I think Vince McMahon is so hell-bent on getting fans, it'll probably be him, just because he's... Look, he'll if he finds out that there were people in the crowd tonight on this show, even though they technically were not letting fans in, if he finds out there were people on the show tonight, like, he's going to get people back in the buildings in a few weeks, because he doesn't want to be shown up by another company. He wants to be first, right? He wants to be the first promoter to get people back in the building. So to answer your question, I think it'll probably be WWE. Now, the question is that a smart move? That's a whole other question. I don't know the answer to that.
Yep.
Anything else?
All right, Solid Monster. Well, thanks for... No, I think that's just about it. I guess maybe the Jericho Orange Cassidy match. You know, maybe if we had that crowd, maybe that would have gotten the match a little more exciting.
Wouldn't have saved that finish.
How over he was.
Wouldn't have saved that finish, though.
Yeah, probably not. But still, you know, I think they would have cheered for Cassidy. But hey, you have a good night, Tall Monster.
You
Thanks
too.
For asking, answering my questions. Stay safe.
All right, you too. Orange Cassidy is another one. Yeah, I keep mentioning Darby and Hangman, but Orange Cassidy, and credit to him. You know, he has kept himself in a position where, you know, he's still doing his thing, and it's not, to me anyway, it's not played out yet. But he's another one. His whole character, it's based on the reaction of the crowd, and he's had to do this gimmick without any crowd reaction aside from the people that they plant in the audience. And I think he's done a good job. I know some people hate his guts and they don't like him, or they don't like the act that he does. I get that. But he's another one, I think, who has really, you know, unfortunately suffered from that lack of crowd reaction. F banked with the $5. Strange coincidence that Kamala Harris is chosen as the VP pick after James Kamala Harris passes away. You know, I was thinking about that. The name Kamala was in the news quite a bit this week, and there were a lot of people who didn't like who maybe aren't wrestling fans. You saw that hashtag rest in peace Kamala earlier in the week, who were a little freaked out. So it is kind of weird, right? That this all happens in the same week. It's not like that's a common name. So that is a little strange. You're not the only one to make that observation. I was thinking the same thing. Let us go. We are all jammed up. All right, let's go to 361. How about that? 361.
Hey, Solid Monsters, Jacob from Baltimore. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Jacob. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So I got a sort of a little tired question now, but what do you think would fix AEW's women division? Me personally, I would say maybe a better creative team. I know like Cody and the Bucks and all of them kind of handle the men's side, and for the most part, they're doing pretty good. But, you know, with the women, it kind of reminds me of WWE a few years ago, where it's just they got the talent, they got the people, they're just kind of there, though. So do you think maybe some better writers, a better creative team, an overhaul of that would really help? You know, maybe they don't have to have the strongest talent, but just, you know, better stories and more focus.
I think consistency. I think consistency is important in terms of, you know, if they're going to be without certain women, getting those women back, having a complete women's roster so they can really start to give us stories. It's not enough to just put two women in the ring or even two guys, just put them in the ring. It should be a story, right? Sheeta should have somebody that she's already feuding with, a story that's being built up for the next pay-per-view when she defends the championship. And then underneath, they should have two or three other stories, whether that's involving Ivelisse and Diamante or Brandy or Britt Baker. Now, Britt Baker's been hurt, but they've done a good job of getting her on TV. She's coming back at the pay-per-view, so she's going to have her match with Big Swole. Again, I'd like to see Lil Swole become a thing on TV, Nicole Savoy. I think that would be cool. It's the consistency, and it's getting stories locked in for these other women. They have women who can go. I've seen some of them in this tag team tournament these last few weeks, and there are other women who are not as good. But just getting them some TV time consistently, and that's really the best way you're going to build your division at the end of the day, right? What else do you want from them? I mean, you can introduce all these new faces, and then half of them are going to sit out because there's not enough TV time for them. Pick the ones you want to build around, you know, put them in whatever stories you want to put them in, and start building it up and letting it play out on TV week to week. So, yeah, maybe when Britt Baker is finally back in the ring in a few weeks and wrestling again, after All Out, we'll see who she feuds with next. And Anna Jay supposedly is a member of the Dark Order. You would never know it. She doesn't really hang out with them. Is she in the Dark Order? Is she not in the Dark Order? It kind of feels like they can't make up their mind. Because I watch her in the tag team tournament, and she's just Anna Jay. There's nothing dark about her. She's Anna Jay. So they got to get their shit together and figure out, like, where are their positions on the show? To me, that's the best thing they can do. 716.
Hey, Silent Monster. It's Jordan from Buffalo. How's it going?
Good, Jordan. How are you?
Very good, very good. So my question for you this week with AEW Dynamite being all about tag team appreciation, I have to ask you, what was your favorite tag team of all time? And on a personal note, I also want to say I got my copy of The Adventure of Hardy the Horse from Amazon today. I got one for my niece who's turning two this weekend. So I'm excited to gift it to her.
That's very cool. I'm really happy to hear that. And you'll have to let me know what her reaction to it is. I hear from a lot of people who say their kids like the illustrations. I love the way they came out. Yeah, I love the way that the illustrator I work with is great. He does work for DC Comics. I mean, he's terrific. So that's very cool. So you'll have to let me know what her reaction is to it.
Oh yeah, my mom loves babysitting her and reading her books. So I'm definitely excited to gift it to her. Yeah, absolutely, man.
That's awesome.
Thank you for taking my call.
So my favorite tag team of all time, that was his question. And I was thinking about that, too, when I was watching the FTR tag team appreciation segment on the show earlier tonight. You know, growing up, I was obviously a big fan of the Hart Foundation. I was a big fan of Demolition. Even the Attitude Era, I was a fan of Edge and Christian, what they were doing. So I've had tag teams over the years that I really... I really enjoy watching. As far as my favorite tag team of all time, I gotta stick probably with Demolition. Again, I like the Hart Foundation. But to me, Demolition was, they were my favorite. And I know if you grew up watching the NWA, it was probably the Road Warriors or the Horsemen or something else, but you probably looked at Demolition as just LOD knockoffs. When I was growing up, I wasn't really watching the Road Warriors. So I saw Demolition and the way they would come out with the face paint and the masks and everything, and I just thought, these guys are cool. And they were the first team, maybe not the first, but they were one of the first teams to three-peat, become three-time tag team champions, that great moment at WrestleMania 6. Talk about crowd reactions. When Sky Dome went nuts, they beat Andre and Haku. So I have a lot of fond memories from those days, Demolition. Probably my favorite, Hart Foundation, probably right behind them. So that would be, that's the way the top of my list would look like. I'm sure the Road Warriors would be on a lot of people's lists, right? I'm sure we got a lot of Road Warrior fans, a lot of people watch that Dark Side of the Ring that I reviewed on the Road Warriors. Oz and Glorious, the Outsiders, are the greatest tag team of all time for life. Oz and Glorious, a big NWO fan. Big fan of the Outsiders. Two singles wrestlers. That's interesting. They had more success as singles wrestlers, but for him, it's they're his favorite tag team of all time. And let us go to... Let's go to Philadelphia. 484.
Solid Monster, what's going on, man?
What is happening?
Hey, it was a fun night tonight. I had the Yankee game on the iPad. I had AEW on the TV. It was a fun night tonight.
Yankee fan, huh? All right. Well.
Oh yeah, I know you're a Met. I know you're a Met fan.
Well, have a good night. I'll let you go. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Go ahead. Ask your question.
Is it just me though, or I mean, AEW was okay tonight? I mean, you know, the main event was a lot to be desired. Although I think they were running short on time, and that might be the reason why the finish was all, you know, fucked up. But that could be because the finish happened at 9:59. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. It looks like it kind of maybe was rushed. I could be wrong on that. I don't know.
Possible. It definitely felt rushed. I don't know if that was the plan. I assume that was the finish, and they just were cutting it real close, and so they got it all in, and then they just had to do the abrupt cut at the end. But they were definitely working against the clock. I could tell. I was looking at the clock too.
I love the tag team segment with Rock and Roll, Brain Busters, and all the Ricky Morton taking a spike pile driver at his age. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah. He's a bump machine, 63 years old, and the guy's still bumping absolutely around like he's 43 or 33.
You know, that's another example of what we were talking about earlier, what the one caller was about fans not being... The fans would have went nuts for that spot, I think, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
the Heat, think about it, though. The Heat would have been off the charts. That segment is designed for that. So the moment that FTR, hit Gibson with the knee brace and then they spike piled... Now, look, they could be cheered, too, right? Sometimes, depending on the city you're in, the fans might cheer. But I think the Heat for that segment would have been off the charts. So that's another example of why the crowd can really enhance a segment like that.
Here's an interesting question for you. Maybe interesting, might not be. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cody, obviously, you can see the writings on the wall and everything. Personally, like when he comes out with the nightmare people, I guess so annoying. You know, it's just that gets deep for me right off the bat.
I love that. The nightmare people. Sounds like a zombie faction or something. You can get Abaddon in there.
That could be the next Walking Dead faction.
Could be. It could be. Where is Abaddon? Anyway, Abaddon's been on Dark. Let's get her back on Dynamite.
Dude, that was the switch gears quick. That would have been great to have that tag team tournament when Britt Baker was healthy and have those two team up. That would have been outstanding to watch.
That's what I said a few weeks ago. I said it's like the Odd Couple. She would be completely repulsed. Oh, like, imagine Abaddon, like, sliding in, like, out of the tunnel under the bottom rope, and Britt just has this look of just sheer terror on her face, hiding behind Reba. Like, I think I would have had them end up going all the way to the finals. Like, it would have been this great dynamic with the two of them.
I don't know if it would have went to the finals or not, but it would have been a great dynamic, like you said. But now, with Cody, with the heel turn coming, now, does the whole Nightmare team, are they turning heel with them, or what's going to happen there? Because that would be really annoying if they do, but also at the same time, if people are thinking the same way I am, that's one of the reasons why he gets some heat as well when he comes out with everybody. He could come out with a ton of people and all of them be heels along with them. Do you think that will actually happen, or do you think Cody breaks off, that's it?
Well, Brandi was already teasing being a heel on the tag team tournament special a few weeks ago. After her and Allie won their match, they went to the back and Brandi was just healing it up. And that's another thing I don't hate that I hate and that I don't like. We saw Brandi out there tonight. She was out there with Cody. She didn't speak or anything, but it's very Jekyll and Hyde. Like, is she a heel or is she not a heel? I know she's running this thing called AEW Heels. Let's forget that. But she, in that promo, she was like, I'm the best. I was so great out there. It's like, clearly she was acting heelish, but she wasn't a heel. All of a sudden, she's a heel. I thought it was the opposite. Yeah. I thought, if anything, Allie was kind of the more heelish one, and Brandi was supposed to be the baby face. But so they have to do a better job of defining that. She may already be a heel. Dustin, I don't see him going heel. I don't think the whole Nightmare clan or whatever has to go heel. Maybe Arn does. Maybe Arn goes heel and Cody doesn't. Maybe it's all just a red herring and Arn turns on Cody. Who knows? They can go a few different ways with this. But I don't think the whole Nightmare faction necessarily has to turn if Cody does.
And going back to from an earlier call about crowd reactions, one mm-hmm. of my all-time favorites, definitely what for me as a kid, because back then, WrestleMania 8, when the Ultimate Warrior came back, me personally, because I did not know anything about Dirt Sheets, Dave Meltzer, Wade Keller, whatever. That was one of the most genuine surprises. I know I went nuts because I thought the guy just disappeared. So for me, that was one of my
crowd
reaction to that.
There were a lot of rumors back then that the Ultimate Warrior had died. He had been in a car accident or he had a heart attack. Right. People thought it was a fake Ultimate Warrior. So that was common chatter, I guess, amongst a lot of the quote-unquote inside fans back then. That was a great moment, watching him sprint down that long aisle, and the place lost their minds. So that's another one, actually. I put that on my list, too, of crap.
It was kind of funny, too, because when he's running down the ring, you see some of the fans, like, you know, they're going crazy when he's going down the aisle. When he got in the ring, if you look, the fans are like, is that the Warrior? Because they didn't really believe it. Or they didn't start going nuts until he started
small,
doing that.
Compared to what they remembered,
close like Papa Shango.
Yeah, compared to what they remembered, he was. It looked like they let the air out of the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, he was so much smaller when he came back, yeah. And his hair was shorter. So, like, his physique was different. His hair was shorter. I can't blame people. And plus, if you're in the Hoosier Dome and you're sitting up in the cheap seats, you can't tell. You're like, that's not the Ultimate Warrior.
Absolutely.
Like, I probably would have thought the same thing if that were me. So, you know, back then you couldn't go on Twitter and see an up-close picture of what he looked like. So it was just different. It was a different time. But, no, that was a great moment. That was just that shot of him sprinting down the aisle and stuff. That was great, man. That's what I grew up on.
Same here. And, of course, going relatively recent, well, not relatively more recent, still a few years ago, anytime CM Punk appears in Chicago, that's always epic. And definitely my favorite tag team has to be Doom post-masks. When they had the masks on, no. After they got the masks off, hell yeah. I love Doom with Teddy Long. That theme music with the saxophones, awesome.
Yeah. Doom was good. The Skyscrapers. I knew some of those teams. I just wasn't watching them enough. I didn't even have cable back then. So, like, my exposure when I was a kid. Later on, I got caught up on everything. But as a kid, the only time I would watch was on weekends because my grandparents had cable. And so I could watch WCW Saturday night And I look back on it now and I'm like, man, what an idiot I was, because for me it was like torture. I'm like, oh man, put WWF on. I don't want to watch this stuff. And now it's like, man, I wish I can go back to those days. Are you kidding me? I hear you. I can go on the network right now and bring up a WCW Saturday night episode and watch it all the way through if I actually had time, which I don't, but I miss it. But I think everybody who grew up would feel the same way. If you grew up in, I don't know, let's say you're a young guy and you grew up in mid-2000s WWF, you probably miss Batista and, you know, it's funny to say Undertaker because that's like so cross-generational. Like, yeah, I remember the Undertaker. Well, so do I. That's how old the guy is. But
yeah, same here.
Yeah, Undertaker, CM Punk, and Dolph Ziggler. No, I'm kidding. But I think everybody has their favorites that they grew up on. But anyway, anything else before I let you go?
No, nothing else, man. Congratulations on your Mets win today. That was sorely needed, and maybe it's start to something. You never know, right?
Yeah. Well, you never know. You never know what tomorrow may bring. Maybe an ownership change. Wouldn't that be something, right?
I tell you what, the Mets need A-Lo and A-Lo. Holy hell. A-Rod and J-Lo. That would be good.
J-Rod and A-Lo. I love it. J-Rod and A-Lo. There we go.
A-Lo.
That would be the Mets, too.
That would garner a lot of interest.
That's absolutely the way it would go for the Mets. Everybody would be all excited, and we would find out that, like, A-Lo and J-Rod. And they're like, who the fuck is A-Lo and J-Rod? It's like, people think it's them, but it's like some weird couple named A-Lo and J-Rod, and they completely bankrupt the team.
Take it easy, man.
Yeah, you too. It's funny, he mentions the Mets. I'm wearing my Mets colors right now, blue and orange, right here. You can't really see, but there it is. I don't know why I wear this. I mean, I may as well wear like a scarlet letter A on my chest, but... And I'm not going anywhere, so I'm wearing it inside. Nobody can see it except all of you. And I thank you all, those of you who are still tuned in. Again, I want to also just thank all of the folks who dropped some big super chats tonight. Tyler, Jason, Jared, Bill, Chris. You guys are awesome. These phone calls aren't free, so believe me, these are very helpful, very supportive, as all of your donations and all your super chats are. And speaking of which, we have one of those fine gentlemen on the line. I'll grab him right now before we get ready to wind down, Mr. Jared.
Jason.
Yes, sir.
Jared, how you doing?
Oh, I know. I just said your name. I knew exactly who you were.
I had you on speakerphone. I just didn't hear you for a second.
Get me off speakerphone and give me your undivided attention. I've got you on the air.
I've chosen you. You are the chosen one on my wall. Jared M. in the middle. I feel special. And you are not on speakerphone. You have my iPhone up to my ear, my
All
friend.
Right. Well, what is your thoughts, your question on tonight's Dynamite show before Dynamite, unfortunately, is going to be bumped for the next 2 weeks?
Oh, okay. Good show. Got home around 7:45, turned on at 8. Next thing I know, it's around 9:30. That's how I know it's a good show. It swept right through. I love the stuff with... the Rock and Roll, FTR, Arn and Tully, and the Bucks. I know it's leading somewhere. You know something's going on with Cody. And I just thought the Orange Cassidy and Jericho match needed a crowd.
It needed That's a crowd. It needed a crowd. But again, I think even with a crowd, I just didn't think as a main event, I didn't think it was a great match.
It
just wasn't. I've seen much better main events on this show. It was fine. I'm glad Orange Cassidy got the win because he should have. But it was missing something. And it wasn't just a crowd. It was missing something.
He still needs to grow. He's still, you know, I know it's been a year now, but, you know, I mean, he's just not getting the respect and people, you know, like Cornette, you know, they brag on him. They just don't get the funniness of him. But it's funny. It's entertaining. I think it's great. And, you know, Jericho wanting to work with him and trying to make him better, you know, is even better. That just shows me just to make it even better. Yeah. And
yeah,
I did like...
Let me just give a shout out here. Dried Chicken Without Flavor dropped another $6. Every time I see the retro background on the YouTube stream, I feel like playing Blinding Light by The Weeknd. He says, I love it. Well, I'm glad you love it. I'm just trying to go back and forth here because my my CPU is about to explode. So I'm afraid if I go back to it, this stream may end prematurely. But I'm glad you enjoy it, and I will put that back up for you in a little bit. And also Eugene Morgan with the 10. I like watching Darby take his hits. He reminds me of Deadpool. Interesting comparison. I've not heard that before. But go ahead, Jared.
Hey, and Jason, when we talk about the greatest tag teams of all time, maybe you have that. Maybe I've missed it. I'm not blaming you. I'm just asking you. How come you never bring up the Steinbrenners?
Because I think that they're very good. I think they're excellent, but I don't... But I don't.
From 89 to 92. Yeah, they just were. Not, yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah, they're okay. They're good. They're very good. They're an excellent team. I think they should be. You know, they're Hall of Fame bound one day. If not, then they should be. And they were one of those teams like the Road Warriors. And I mean, some people might not like this, but they took liberties with their opponents. But it could be fun. Like, you know, when I was younger, it would be scary sometimes watching what the Steiner screwdriver. It's still one of the scariest moves I've ever seen. What the way he would lift these jobbers up in the air.
And the Bulldogs.
And the Bulldogs. Well, the Bulldogs. And you know what? I'll even throw another team on here. Not as one of the all-time greats, but as a team that...
Well, and the Spike Pile driver for the top.
Yeah, but as a team that would... when I would watch them in like squashes with their finish, would sometimes just wreck their opponent, is the Beverly Brothers with the Shaker Height Spike.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching SummerSlam 92 on FX1, wherever, FS1, and, you know, facing natural disasters. And just funny, and I saw the Legion of Doom. I saw Hulk trying to get into the ring and trying to get out of the ring. God knows what he was on that night. But
everything.
Didn't 10 days later he gave Vince his notice after that?
Well, it was right after, it was right after SummerSlam. He gave him his notice. He probably... wasn't in the right frame of mind when he did that, but that was, and that's Animal talking, right? Animal's been very open about what...
That was Animal talking from Dark Side. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was pissed. And what did you think of the Cody-Scorpio match?
I thought it was good. I don't think it was... at the level that it could have been. I was expecting more.
Okay.
I was expecting a more dramatic match. Maybe it could have benefited from another 5 or 6 minutes. So it was a little underwhelming to me, but for what it was, you know, Scorpio had a good showing. It was good, but it could have been better.
And now I'll get to the next thing. What do you think of Brody Lee as his next opponent?
Not sold on it. I mean, again, because I would not take the title off of Cody. And if you're going to just beat Brody Lee again, I'm not sure. I mean, look at all the... I mean, they're all in on the Dark Order. So maybe I'm not always the biggest fan of what they're doing with the Dark Order, but if you're going to be all in on them, you've got to keep them strong. The best way to do that would be to change the title. And maybe they will, but I wouldn't do that. I would hold on.
I can't see that.
Yeah, I would hold off on doing that.
And just one final thing. I know you got a lot of callers. Where do you think this whole thing is going with the Horsemen, the Cody, the Entourage? Where do you think 2 months, 3 months down the road, what are we looking at in your Jason's eyes? What are we looking at?
Jason Jimerson mentions Harlem Heat. Yes, Harlem Heat's another one. Harlem Heat's another very good team.
Another one.
The thing with Harlem Heat, though.
WCW.
Yeah, the thing with Harlem Heat, though, when I think of Harlem Heat, there is no one match of theirs that stands out to me. So I feel like they had, depending on who they were in the ring with, they may have had some crappy matches, but they had good matches.
They had that triple threat with the Outsiders and there was somebody
else. But that's not an all-time, that's not a great match. What are the one or two or three like all-time memorable great Harlem Heat matches? There isn't one that stands out to me. So that hurts them a little bit.
You say the same thing about the Heart Foundation, though, and we love.
No. There are matches that the Heart Foundation had with the Bulldogs. There's the SummerSlam match with Arn and Tully. There's the SummerSlam match with Demolition. I'll be going off on the Hart Foundation now. I could think of at least those three.
Okay.
So, anyway, okay. Now that I've schooled you.
And I still didn't get your 3-month plan for the horseman thing, with Arn and Tully and Cody and everything. That's what I want to hear.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, and I'll give you my...
I'll talk to you later, Jason.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And thank you for the support, as always. I don't know if it's a 3-month plan, but... I mean, I like the idea of Hangman as the lone wolf. I don't know that he needs to be in a faction, but he's been buddy-buddy, right, with FTR and kind of buddy-buddy with Arn, and he would fit right in there if they wanted to do a faction like that. Cody going as the heel. Cody, Hangman, FTR with Arn, and maybe even Tully in there. Tully is still linked up with Sean Spears. Could Sean Spears be part of a group like that instead of Hangman? Could be. Hangman could go heel, maybe, but go off on his own. But then what about Omega? Maybe Omega goes heel. Who says Hangman has to go heel? I like the fact that there's a few different ways they could go. I would make Omega heel. I wouldn't turn Hangman. I would leave him the way he is. Let him be a lone wolf. Let Omega go heel. The Horsemen stuff could be Cody and FTR and maybe Spears, so that way you get Arn and Tully in the same group together. Then again, after what Tully had to say on the show tonight, does that make sense? He was taking Arn to task for linking up with the Rhodes. You'd have to try to finesse that a little bit. But I, as a group, I like that. I think that could work. You got to have two singles guys in a tag team, maybe even a female. Although I don't know who that would be. And don't say Tessa, because if they were interested in Tessa, they'd have Tessa. I don't think she's coming in. But then again, if Tully was in there, right, it kind of would make sense. It kind of would make sense to have the Daughter of the Horseman in kind of a New Age Horseman-type faction. Quintus Brown, since it is Tag Team Appreciation Night, which tag team has the brightest future, Private Party or the Street Profits? I think Private Party as a tag team has the brighter future. Montez Ford as a single has the brightest future. I picture Montez Ford as this arrogant singles heel with Bianca Belair, who can do her own thing in the women's division, but they're kind of together as like a duo. I think there's money in that. I really do. I think there's a lot of money to be made in that. He's got the brightest future. Tag team-wise, I'd go with Private Party. This is still very young, too. Private Party, and I've had the chance to call their matches before, in House of Glory, and I miss doing that. And they're very talented, but they're also very young. So you give them a few more years together to really just kind of get more matches under them and more TV matches and stuff, and to mature and just kind of grow into that role. And they could go on to become a much better tag team than they are right now. Let's do one or two more. How about that? We'll do one or two more, and then we will wrap this up since it's getting kind of late. Let's go to 651, shall we? Why not? Let's go to 651. Is this Brandon? Is this Brandon?
Of course it is, yes.
I knew it. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing tonight?
Good. You sound like you're in a closet or you're trapped in a car trunk. Are you okay? Are you in distress?
No, I'm good. I'm in my bedroom. I'm chilling.
Oh, okay.
So first off, the major question is, when are you going to just switch sides? Just give it up. Your team's a joke. They're a joke. Just come to the good side. We'll open you with welcome arms. Come to the Yankees.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But I appreciate the offer. See, if this were like, if this were the NWO back in the day when they were giving DDP the shirt, you'd give me the Yankee shirt and I would look at it.
Yeah.
And I would like hold it. Maybe I'd even put it on. And I would appear as though I was going to join you. And then I would drop you with a diamond cutter and I would tear it off and reveal my Mets shirt. And then I would run up into the stands.
So I feel like AEW with their legends or people that are not really on the roster, I feel like they have their people that they use, and I feel like they use them too much. We've seen Dickie and Rock and Roll Express a few times already. I feel like, they should bring in other legends. So since we're talking about the greatest tag teams, how or in what ways could they bring in Demolition if they wanted to?
Demolition? To do what?
Yeah, for a one-off, for a promo or something.
They don't need to bring in Demo. I mean, look, I love Demolition, but they don't need to be bringing in Demolition. Demolition is... I mean, look, if they were going to do... They already did Tag Team Appreciation Night, so to do like a wave and say a few words, but Demolition, you know, they're older guys. Bill Eadie had to retire many years ago the first time or step out of the ring because of a heart condition. That I think was, if I remember, it was because he had an allergic reaction, I think, to shellfish or whatever. But here's a guy with a medical history. I don't know that Demolition needs to be going around here in the middle of a pandemic. I don't want to kill these guys, so leave them at home. I don't think AEW needs to do anything right now with Demolition. Demolition is hopefully resting comfortably in retirement at home.
Yeah. Another Demolition. Question for me, like modern wrestling, I don't know what it is, but I feel like it's very forgettable. Like for some reason, like if you ask me a question about a wrestling match or an event from last year or the last 5 years, even the last 10 years, I don't remember a single thing about it. But if you ask me something from my childhood, Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression, I'll remember it like if it was yesterday. Like, is there a problem? Like, how come like modern wrestling isn't as memorable as like the past?
Well, I mean, there could be a medical problem. I'd be a little concerned about that. I would go take a memory test and make sure everything is okay. But I'm the same way, where if you were to ask me, if you were to quiz me, if you were to quizzle me on a question, let's say, about WWE from, 25, 30 years ago, especially if it was about, you know, wrestlers that I was a big fan of back then, a particular pay-per-view match or something, I probably would be able to tell you on the spot what you wanted to know. If you were to ask me a question about Monday Night Raw from 2 weeks ago, it's a very good chance, depending on the question, I probably wouldn't know the answer. And I watch the shows every week, and I take notes, and I review them, and then I forget about them. And I think the reason why, to answer your question, is because there is too much. There's so much that it is just impossible to, unless you have an encyclopedia-like memory, it is impossible to remember every single detail, every segment, every winner, every loser, because A, it just feels like nothing really matters. Things mattered back then, right? It just felt like they mattered. And because there's such an overabundance of it, it just, you don't absorb it. It just is kind of like you watch it and that's it, or it goes in one ear and out the other. That to me is probably the biggest reason why. That's probably the biggest issue. So you and I, we have the same issue. Either that or you and I, unfortunately, are losing our memories. That's what happens when we get old.
Yeah. A little bit of both. Last question. Shout out to Essential Jockasses in the group chat, of course.
I knew he was going to say it.
Random.
I knew it.
you know I have. You know. The randomest question ever, but I remember as a kid, when Monday Night Raw would come on TNN, right before it would start, it would be Star Trek. Like, I'd always remember the credits for Star Trek rolling. So for, like, when WCW Nitro started, what was on, like, before Nitro ever started?
I thought it was a movie. Wasn't it, like, the movie of the week or something? I thought maybe it was... I could be wrong. I wasn't really a big Nitro fan while it was on. I would flip. But I wasn't tuned into Nitro when Nitro would go on usually. I was getting ready for Raw. I was like a WWE guy. So I can remember the TNT logo flashing and then Nitro would start. I want to say it was maybe a movie because TNT was all about showing movies on TV back then. Raw, I remember because Raw was Murder, She Wrote, or obviously, you know, later on it was like NCIS, or that might be what it is now. But I remember Murder, She Wrote would be the lead-in usually, and then when it was over, Silk Stockings would come on. And so I remember that, but I don't remember what the lead-in was to Nitro. Maybe somebody in the chat would know. I want to say it was a movie, though.
Okay, someone said Thunders in Paradise was on before Nitro.
Yeah, maybe for one season, maybe, but that wasn't the case for... What about the other 3 years? Thunder in Paradise.
I'm assuming that's a show.
Yeah, well, Thunder in Paradise didn't last very long. So you're going to have to do you have to do better than that. We'll see if somebody in the chat answers. Anything else before I let you go?
No, have a good night. And yes, Murder, She Wrote is a good show. I love that show.
Well, I remember the jingle. I never really watched Murder, She Wrote. So maybe I'll have to give that a shot. It was more of a Perry Mason, Hunter. Remember Hunter from NBC with Fred Dreyer? I love Hunter. By the way, for those of you who also are Hunter fans or used to watch Hunter, never heard of the Tubi TV app, T-U-B-I, it's free. They stick commercials in there, but it's free. They have all seven seasons of Hunter. So you can put it on your phone, you can put it on your Roku. It's great. Tubi TV. Tubi TV. Isn't Tubi? I think Tubi might be the one that also has... Oh, Pluto. I think Pluto has like an Impact Wrestling channel. They have like old Impact Wrestling shows. Let's see here. Let's go to 248. I think this might be Markel. Is this you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I want to talk more about Brandy. Is she a tweener at this rate? Do you think she's going to win the tournament?
I hope not. I hope not. I hope they give somebody else a chance. I don't think she has to. I think she's going to have her storyline no matter what. I'd like to see somebody else get the win and then have some kind of story, you know, between the partners coming out of it.
Right. What was the purpose of Cameron? Was that just for viewerships? I mean, she got eliminated the first match.
No, it was just a one-off. It was just a one-off. I mean, she did a YouTube interview after that, and she said she's not signed. She just... I think the way she described it was a thing for me to do. And it sounded like she was hoping to get another shot in WWE. So actually, if I'm AEW, I'm not exactly thrilled about that. It almost sounds like she used this as an opportunity to kind of like, hey, WWE, I'm still here. So that's what that was.
And who do you think is going to dethrone Cody Rhodes?
I hope it's Darby Allin.
That's going to be a year from now. I think when they change the title, he's still going to have it.
I don't think it'll be a year. It's not going to be... I guess Darby's doing something with Brian Cage now. It's not going to be a year, though. It doesn't have to be that long. I don't think you have to wait that long.
That was one of my questions. I'm actually surprised I got in. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad I got you. It's usually all jammed up, and I saw the number, so I got you through.
All right, much love. Bye.
All right, take it easy. Have a good night. Again, for those of you who may have missed it before, I will show you one more time here. It is now 80-20 in the AEW poll, and the NXT poll is 60-40. So that is the that's not great, but it's still a positive score. So that is good. RSPW Rewind, go check it out when you're done here. I think you'll enjoy it. Hopefully you'll laugh, whether it's at me or at some of the people who would post on those forums. Zantara in the chat says, The New Adventures of Robin Hood after Nitro. That's right. I forgot all about that. They had that Robin Hood show. Was it after or before? He's saying it was after Nitro. I'll take your word for it. But yes, that is true. I had completely forgotten about that. New Adventures of Robin Hood. Let me say thank you to our top supporters one last time here. Tyler Hansen, Jason Jimerson, Jared M., Bill Mitchell. And even though he's not here right now, he is always here with us in spirit. Chris Quillman, thank you for all of the support. It does help, and I do very much appreciate all of your support. I'm going to be back with you this Sunday for episode 665. It's very close to 666 of the full Solomonster Sounds Off podcast. Big week next week. Big week. A lot of live Solomonster Wednesday for NXT. I'm probably going to go live Thursday at some point for my SummerSlam predictions. Saturday next week, the 22nd, you're getting a hybrid stream talking Dynamite and NXT TakeOver. The next night, live after SummerSlam is over. I'm working on a new video inbox for the YouTube channel. We'll do another RSPW Rewind in the next few weeks. It's going to be good. A lot of good content. So now would be a good time to hit that subscription button if you're not subbed, and make sure notifications are set to on. Otherwise, you may not know when I go live. So make sure you do that. Give this video a like on your way out. It does help. And again, I say thank you to everybody who chose me for your Dynamite coverage tonight. Until then, next time, again, no Dynamite next Wednesday, but be here for NXT. Even if you're not an NXT fan, be here anyway. Until then, be well, stay safe, and I'll see you back here again this weekend. Take care, guys.